The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor. Brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello and welcome. Today we are talking about all things PR. And I'm joined by Rachel Roberts, President of the Chartered Institute of Public Relations from 2022. Rachel, I do like to start with a definition. So let's start with what we mean by PR, please.
Sure. Start with an easy question. Why not? I think, you know, it's an answer that we could debate for all of this podcast. But I think generally PR professionals are responsible for providing communications consultancy across a broad range of disciplines. And you know, we want to characterise what do we mean by PR in a broad way, and that's really difficult. But in the same way, if you looked at the healthcare professionals, you might say a healthcare professional is about healing people. But we understand that a dentist has got a very different skill set to perhaps a mental health nurse. So if you could ask a PR professional, what do we mean by PR, and get quite a few answers, because in the same way, we're trying to kind of broad a range of skills under one umbrella. So I think starting with the definition as characterised by the Chartered Institute of Public Relations is obviously a smart choice. And they define that public relations is about reputation, the result of what you do, what you say, and what others say about you. So obviously I buy into that, being a president next year. But of course, you know, there's such a range across the industry. I would start by saying that I see myself very much as a purist, in a sense that for me, PR is something you can't buy and you have to earn exposure. You can't buy reputation, but you can build it by building champions, advocates and fans who go out there and sort of evangelicalise on the brand's behalf. So building those champions for you. But whilst I'm a purist, I have to recognise we're working in a world where the media landscape has changed. And audiences are influenced by channels where sometimes you have to pay to play. And then you could also argue that you can buy exposure. If you've got decent budgets and you can fund celebrities or initiatives that can help you create new news, there is an element that through decent budgets you can build that reputation perhaps faster and easier than somebody that doesn't have the same level of resource. So my perspective of PR right now is to lead with strategies that will earn exposure. So definitely it's about earning those champions, but you have to integrate into the marketing program so we can draw on paid and own brand media platforms. So PR doesn't exist within an isolation. It's part of a wider communications effort, essentially.
I'll come back to the differences between PR and marketing in a minute, but can I sort of look at the breadth of where PR professionals work? So you gave a sort of healthcare example and said, you know, nurses and dentists. So what's the breadth of PR professionals?
Gosh, it's huge. And that's why I think this industry is such an exciting place to work. And I'm fortunate that I've worked within all PR settings. I've worked as an independent, I've worked as a freelancer. I've worked in-house for corporate PLCs, for a charity. I've worked within consultancy. I've worked for an international consultancy. I've worked for a fairly small consultancy as well. So I've got that breadth of kind of looking at where PR practices across all settings, really. I think what's really exciting is that every industry, every organisation needs communications and PR. So as a PR practitioner, you can kind of work at high level within government, you can work within specialist areas like internal communications, like lobbying, consumer brands. So the range of skills you need to kind of service communications requirements across that breadth of settings is huge. Obviously, if you worked in lobbying, you've got to be highly engaged within current affairs, within the political agenda. Whereas if you worked for a fashion PR agency, you know, you've got to be immersed in that world. So I think what's exciting about our industry and as a PR professional, there's so much diversity and you can develop your careers. You know, it may be that you start as a generalist communicator and then suddenly really enjoy working within the internal communications discipline and you can develop your career in that way. So I think the diversity is fantastic, but the common thread across what we do is communications. So you've got that kind of universal challenge, really, no matter where you practice.
That's quite interesting, because I think if you stopped someone in the street and said, what's PR or what's public relations, they would sort of imagine you spent your lives chatting to journalists. But what you've actually just talked about is internal communications.
Yeah, I mean, the range of skills and tactics and the things we deliver are huge. I think if you ask the average PR person what they did most of the time, it was probably filling in an Excel spreadsheet looking at data and evaluation and impacts. But that doesn't make terribly sexy TV, does it? And if you think at how the external world often characterises PR, it's because they've got affinity with the stereotypes they may have seen within the media. So, you know, we're still suffering with that absolutely abfab kind of TV culture and the thick of it, Malcolm Tucker culture. That's much more kind of engaging than me showing you a bunch of Excel spreadsheets, communications message statements, and strategic methodology to define best practice in communications. I think, you know, we've got more akin with management consultancy than perhaps some of the kind of stereotypical identities that many of the wider publics may have associate us with.
So, okay, so I think you've probably just upset a lot of people if they now think that you don't work in an abfab environment. Am I understanding that the common thread really is communications? So what you're actually, it's a communications professional rather than a public relations professional.
I would say so. And when I established my own business, Spotty Dog Communications, you know, I've worked in PR practice for probably about 20 years when I set up my own business, and I deliberately chose to, you know, phrase the business communications rather than Spotty Dog PR. And that's, for me, the media landscape has changed a heck of a lot. And, you know, there's still a huge amount of opportunity to be gained by organisations engaging in media relations. You know, there's not a client that I have that doesn't love a good splash in the Sunday Times. So media relations is still terribly important, but the media landscape has changed so much, and the end user audience consumes their communications through so many different channels. We can't think in a one channel dimension. So for me, when I counsel my clients, it's looking at what are they trying to communicate, who is the end user audience, and what are the channels that we can kind of work through in order to engage with that audience. So I absolutely do think of myself as a communications professional, I've been working in PR for 25 years, and as I said kind of earlier, I'm a purist, so I think that communications has the most power when it's through the earned PR channel, and that's the most effective way to gain impact for the clients that I counsel. So I'm not walking away from PR. I think the power of PR is huge, but I think when we think about how we deliver PR, we have to think in a broad communication sense.
You've mentioned several times that sort of PR has changed. So what are the changes that you've seen over your career?
Well, I don't want you to think I'm too old, but when I started in PR, I don't think I had an email. There was definitely a fax machine, and I had to, when I was on call at the weekend, I had to walk round with the 210 media directory in my bag in case a journalist called me. So, you know, the world has changed quite a lot, but it's always changed. I mean, I'm sure the PR practitioners that were kind of at the early days of the industry, you know, had a very different kind of culture and focus as we do, you know, now in 2020. So, you know, like any industry, we move with the times. I think technology has a huge influence in what shapes the practice and the opportunities. The shifting media landscape, of course, and I think a pivotal point really was that sort of 2000-2005 period when the internet really emerged, and also social media. But then you could argue, you know, since smartphones became our kind of means of primary source of communication over perhaps desktop devices, that was also another sort of trigger point. But I think change is eternal. I think the biggest thing that may influence future change in our industry is actually not technology or PR practice, but it's actual the human capital of our industry. We're an industry of people. We're not an industry of machines. We're not factories. So the people population of that delivers ultimately PR consultancy is, you know, is critical, but I think the impact of COVID has changed people's expectation of work, of the workplace as well. And also our industry has always been driven by a lot of on-the-job learning and those skills that have been passed down to the next generation talent, you know, how to deal with difficult client meetings, how to develop creative ideas, things like that. And so the workplace is changing, and the people working in our industry have got changing expectations of work. So for me, that's the biggest change that I think as an industry we need to look at for the future.
So give me some tales from the coalface. You mentioned difficult client meetings. What makes a client meeting difficult? Is it the client who thinks they've got a wonderful story and actually the rest of the world is just not that interested in it?
I think that definitely happens to a lot of PR consultants, that line. I think Stephen Waddington, who's well known in our industry, has characterised it. Can you just PR this? Can you just press release this? And I think, you know, there are many situations where professionals, PR professionals, face a sort of a brief that's already been predefined by the client. And I think the challenges in our industry is that PR and communications is a really accessible skill. Everybody thinks they can write, and everybody can write. It doesn't necessarily mean that they should write. So, for example, I can sing really badly, and I shouldn't be on Top of the Pops. But because I can do something, I might have an opinion on it. I mean, we all watched the Olympics, didn't we? And suddenly we're experts in long jump. And I think within our communication industry, clients can often feel that they're informed and they understand when it's not necessarily their discipline of expertise. So if I was to go and see a heart surgeon and the heart surgeon, you know, gave me their advice, I probably wouldn't butt in and say, I understand, but can you do it like this, that and the other? But in our industry, often our consultancy can be taken as a take it or leave it kind of advice, and clients can have strong opinions. So I think, you know, it's our challenge as PR professionals and practitioners to help clients understand that this, you know, we're not giving take it or leave it advice. We're giving advice that's rooted in professional capability, often the law. You know, clients don't want to be in jail or be sued for libel, and also, you know, rooted in metrics and data. So, you know, it's not just my opinion here. There's evidence that indicates, you know, the advice I'm giving you is rooted in fact. So if we could embrace that more of an industry, I think we would have heightened investment from the C-suite in terms of taking on board our advice as in the same professional capability that, you know, you wouldn't argue with your accountant or your lawyer.
So we talked a little bit earlier on about PR, and I said I'd come back to the difference between PR and marketing. So can we explore that a bit at the moment? So where do you feel the two disciplines work together?
Well, I firmly believe that PR sits within the marketing mix. For me, PR
that's controversial.
Is part of marketing and organisation. Yes, well, that's where I come from. I don't see it as a separate strand. And my view on this is really shaped because I started my career in-house at British Telecoms, BT, where PR sat within the marketing communications group. So it meant that everything we did within the PR function was shaped by the overall marketing strategy, and everything was aligned to the communications also being driven through other marketing functions. So we had loads of TV advertising, direct mail. We just started to get online. So it meant when I was looking at communications in my first early days of my career, I was thinking about that integrated perspective and how the overall communications work together to impact the audience. Now, I think that your perspective is shaped also not just by your own personal experience, but also where PR is structured within an organisation. Sometimes it can be a standalone function. Sometimes I've seen communications being part of the HR function, and sometimes even customer services, you know, where we go back to that piece about protecting reputation. And also, if you work in a PR consultancy, you can be disconnected from the wider marketing strategy because you can only see what the client can share with you. And you don't see the strategic marketing communications decisions that have already been determined. So your perspective is shaped by a number of factors, I would say. I also think the place PR has within an organisation, you know, who the boardroom sponsor is. If there's a PR or communications director around the boardroom table, then the organisation's perspective on the power and impact of PR and communications is very different, and also the CEO's personal understanding. For example, if an organisation's quite sales-led, it may be that person sitting behind the boardroom table is a sales and marketing director who's on the board, and that means that the communication effort is really shaped around a sales-focused marketing message or marketing strategy. And in that situation, that's the time when you kind of get the "can you PR this" type of approach that we were just talking about. And that approach doesn't result in the full potential of PR being realised. So I think to maximise the effectiveness of PR, the PR strategy and the tactics need to be developed in an integrated way, not an afterthought, or not developed in a silo. Because audiences consume communications, they're being soaked by integrated communications, so we need to make sure that we're designing campaigns by not thinking in silos. So that's why I firmly believe that PR sits within marketing and isn't a separate piece. But, you know, I respect other people's views because it depends on the organisation, the challenge, the brief. I think if you were a journalist that's come into PR from a wholly media environment, your perspective is very different to someone like me that started their career within marketing communications function. So, yeah, I'm sure there's many people who disagree, but again, I don't think there's one answer.
So since you mentioned journalists, how does the relationship work? I appreciate this is a very specific part of PR and we've already talked about that, but a journalist isn't your friend. They're coming to you because they want a story. How do you define and shape that relationship and make certain the story is what you want it to be?
Well, I guess I would start by saying they are our friend. I think, you know, PRs need media and the media need PRs. Journalists need us to provide the right information, factual information, in a timely way. You know, we're helping them to do their job. And, you know, if you can build up those relationships and understanding of both parties, then, you know, there's a mutual respect and everybody gets the kind of the result that they need for their organisation. Journalists need to be informed about the organisations they're reporting on. And I feel for journalists. The media landscape has changed, and that the role of a journalist now is multimedia. It's fast. It's 24/7 reporting. They've got to cover a lot of bases. I'm here in Birmingham, and the Birmingham Post here used to have a business desk that had about 10 or 20 journalists back in 2000. You know, now they've got really limited resources, so journalists have to cover a lot of ground. So they need PRs to help inform them and help provide the information. But they're going to get pretty annoyed if we try and massage figures, if we try and not be straight, if we try and misdirect. And that's when a relationship with a journalist can really sort of go into a decline. So, you know, they're only not going to be your friend if you're trying to kind of manipulate the situation. And, you know, as a chartered PR practitioner, you know, I firmly am behind ethical communication. So if a client has made a mistake, you need to be honest about that. You know, no smoke and mirrors, no trying to spin something. So when you do that, that's when journalists are not your friend, and that's when you can get caught out, and that's when a PR issue becomes bigger than a PR issue and it can become a PR disaster. So I'd strongly advocate for building relationships with journalists and influencers, anybody that has that influence to reach your end user, end audience, but make sure it's always set on ethical principles. You put the time in to understand also the journalist's perspective and their publication. I'm sure a lot of journalists get a bit annoyed when PRs phone them up who haven't even, you know, kind of read their publication or taken the time to understand the media title there. That generating content for. So it's a two-way street, really. We need to see journalists as a positive opportunity, but journalists also need to recognise that, you know, PRs can be hugely helpful to help them do their job too.
That's great. I mean, you mentioned the Chartered Institute, and obviously you're the president-elect at the moment, and you take over as president of the CIPR in 2022. Can we talk briefly about what the CIPR actually is?
Yeah, it's an amazing organisation. The CIPR is the world's only Royal Chartered Professional Body for Public Relations. We've got nearly 10,000 members, and we've been established for over 70 years. So within the, you know, the organisation was there at the start of the industry, really. So it has been that consistent organisation that has shaped with the times. I think what's really exciting is over the last year, not the last year, actually, longer than that, we've seen a growth in our international membership community. So the CIPR is really a beacon internationally for PR practice. Of course, there are other PR bodies in other countries, and we work closely with them and through the Global Alliance, which is also the global sort of association for all professional PR bodies. But the recognition for the quality of the service the CIPR provides to PR practitioners across the world has really been recognised. So we're seeing increasing engagement from practitioners, you know, across all continents, really. I mean, fundamentally, the organisation is established for the benefit of members and the PR industry. So a huge amount of activity gets delivered by CIPR members. And one of the amazing parts of the CIPR is that as a PR professional, you can get involved and use the CIPR as a community to strengthen relationships with other peers. I mean, particularly if you're working in-house and perhaps you're the only PR professional within your organisation, it can be a pretty lonely place. So through the CIPR, you can network with other professionals, you can share challenges, you can learn and develop your skills. So that's a really important part. But, you know, you can be a member and sort of take the core membership benefits, attend networking events, use the CPD training platform, study for qualifications. But if actually you wanted to take another step and sort of, let's say you were passionate about developing your career in internal communications or lobbying or within an industry group like construction and skills, there are sub-elements of the CIPR out there so that you can strengthen your professional capability within a specific area. So it's a broad church, but there are individual kind of groups within CIPR, which means you can kind of choose how you use it to reflect your own professional priorities.
That's fantastic. Rachel Roberts, thank you so much for giving us your time and that insight into the PR profession. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.